when the chulin is sponsored by Fishel, or the chulin is sponsored by somebody else but made by Fishel. Okay. I would like to do three topics this evening, which are all relevant to one theme. The theme being the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and the specific sub theme, namely the topic of who performs the Bris Milah. Three questions about who performs the Bris Milah. Just to remind ourselves the relevance of Bris Milah to Parshas Lech Lecha, so we know that when Avram is 99 years old and Hashem promised him that he would be the progenitor of a nation, would receive the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's an everlasting possession, and then Avram is commanded in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes and Yud, V'yomelikim Avram v'atas brisi tishmor, atov zarecha achrech l'darosam, this is the everlasting covenant, zos brisi esher tishmoru beiniu veinechem, uvein zarecha acharecha, himol lechem kol zachor, that you should circumcise all males in your family. The Torah continues, v'nimaltem eis b'sar alaschem, you should cut off the foreskin, v'hayil os bris beini u'beinechem, this will be a covenant, b'nishmanas yamim, yimolechem kol zachor l'doraseichem, every 8-day old baby has to have the circumcision, etc., etc., himol yimol yalid beischa, it's not just children, even servants, anything who's part of the family, aro zachor shalo yimol asbsar alaso, v'nichor sahanefesh ahimi ameha, as brisi hefer. Famous halacha, only one of two mitzvos asei, in which the lack of fulfillment is punishable by the severe punishment of kares. Of course, the other one being Karban Pesach. So we have a real mouthful, so to speak, from our parsha of the mitzvah of Milah. The other place in the Torah, Tazria Mitzora, where other details of Bris Milah are mentioned. And there are a number of gemaras where this comes up. Of course, there's the famous Perek in Shabbos, Maseches Reb Eliezer de Milah, the end of Maseches Shabbos. One of the famous Gemaras is the Gemara that we're actually studying on Shabbos in the Gemara Shir on Daf Chaf Tes, which actually explains, this is Mamish right where we're in the middle of. I don't usually do advertisements, but we happen to be Mamish holding by this. Come on Shabbos afternoon. We're learning about the father's obligation to circumcise his son. But the Gemara and the stages that we'll have to get to next, the Gemara says that's one level of obligation. There's a second level of obligation if the father does not do the circumcision, whether it be out of ignorance or simple negligence. But either way, if he doesn't do it, then the Gemara's terminology is the bezdin is required. It's not exactly sure what that means. Does it mean literally a bezdin? Does it mean the community? Maybe the mother is included then because the mother is not included in the original obligation for the father. And finally, the Gemara tells us, based on the pasuk we just read, the last pasuk I read to you here in Parshas Lech Lecha, that if none of them would do it, when the boy reaches bar mitzvah and he's still not circumcised, he has an obligation to do it for himself. And in fact, if he does not do that, he would be chayiv kares. Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid, when does that chayiv kares kick in? Is it from the moment that he turns bar mitzvah, every second until he circumcises himself? Or is it only if he dies without a circumcision? Interesting, perhaps academic, but still interesting, machlokes on how to understand the chayiv of kares, which is uniquely on the person themselves, not on the other two categories, those who in theory are responsible to make sure that he is circumcised. It is a little bit of a complicated relationship, especially between the father and his son, who is really the one who's obligated. Is it the father who's obligated to do the mitzvah, or is it really the mitzvah on the son? It's just that what's he supposed to do? He's just 8 days old, so the one who's given the responsibility for it. That last question, that conceptual lumdish question, that has been at the heart of the shirim we've been giving on Shabbos, and we hope to finish up that theme this coming Shabbos. However, none of that is what I want to speak about tonight. What I speak about tonight, again, there's Torah upon Torah upon Torah, discuss Milah, it's one of my favorite topics. There have been already Sfarim written just on Inyanei Milah. I'm not even talking halakhically, I mean just from a lumdish perspective, there's really much to talk about. But I want to focus on three, one large and two smaller issues. And the first issue comes up, perhaps by implication from, we can start a number of places we could have started this sugya. Let's start with the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Milah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, and as you know, there are different customs, at least in Rishonim described, different customs about whether you should say Shechianu at a Bris Milah. The Rambam was of the opinion that you would make a Shechianu at a Bris Milah, and the Rambam goes out of his way to tell us that the father always makes a Shechianu, even if he's not the one who actually does the circumcision, even if someone else does the circumcision. That's the Lashon of the Rambam. So the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Hagra, So he explains where this is coming from. And he says, well, if the father did the milah, so then he himself has the mitzvah. And if it's a mitzvah, that's a new mitzvah, just like we make shechiyana when we have new holidays once a year. This is, who knows how long it's been. Maybe it's his first son or his first child. So of course he'll make a shechiyanu. But what if someone else does the bris milah? So you would have thought maybe the mo'el should make the shechiyanu. Why should the father make the shechiyanu? Says the Gra, you see from this Rambam that even when the mo'el does the bris, really he's only a stand-in, he is a shaliach, an agent for the father. So it's as if, shlucho shel adam kamoso, we have a halacha that if you appoint someone to do something for you, it's as if you did it. So when the shliach is doing, when the mo'el is doing the milah, it's as if I, the father, am doing the milah, and therefore I can also make the bracha of shechiyanu. The point, the larger point, the one I want to concentrate on, which is brought out by this Vilna Gaon's understanding of the Rambam, is that he certainly assumes that milah is no different than many other mitzvos, and that is that you can appoint a shliach to do the mitzvah for you, which is another way of saying that even if you aren't the one who literally circumcises the baby, the father can still get the mitzvah as if he is the one who did it, in a direct and personal way, shlucho shel adam kamoso. This, however, is very controversial, surprisingly controversial, I should say, because why shouldn't it be the case? We usually assume that shlichus works. But, in fact, it is controversial. And the source for this controversy is in two places. One is the opinion of the Or Zarua. I want to hold off in quoting for you the Or Zarua directly, because it's more well-known and consequential in terms of subsequent development of halacha. By the way, it was paraphrased. We'll see, perhaps not accurately. That'll be later in this year. I'm going to hold back that card for now. But the way it's quoted by the Darkei Moshe is the commentary of the Ramor, Moshe Israelish, but not on Shulchan Aruch, but rather on the earlier work of the Arba Turim. So the Darkei Moshe, Yeradeh Simon Reish Samach Dalet, quotes that the Or Zarua says, you are not allowed to appoint a shliach to do the milah. That's the quote. And the Ramor, the Darkei Moshe, says he doesn't understand. Why not? Shlucha shel adam kamoso. That's how he leaves it. He quotes this Or Zarua, who argues apparently on this Rambam that we mentioned. You can't have a shliach, no. Now what does that mean? It could mean one of two things. It could mean that somehow you're doing something wrong by asking someone else to do it. Or what it might mean is, you can ask a mo'el if you don't know how to do it, but then the mo'el gets some kind of a mitzvah, but you get no mitzvah. Because there's no shlichus, so there's no way to connect me, if I'm the father, to the mo'el who I've asked to do it. That seems to be the implication of the Or Zarua, and the Ramah says, why? That doesn't make any sense. What's the pshat? So the truth is, there's another avenue, another source in Rishonim that seems to also, certainly through Poskim, understand this in a similar way. And this comes from a story. It's always good to throw in a story as early as possible in a shir. Here is a story quoted by the Rush. The Rush in Chulin in Perek Vav Simen Ches quotes a Maisa Shehaya with Rabbeinu Tam, the great and famous Rabbeinu Tam, in which the father had appointed someone to do the milah. You can only imagine. I'm playing already around with names in my head. I have a few molim in the city here. You went to one guy, and he said, will you do the milah for me? And another guy got all offended, and he was there anyway. And you know, maybe the other mol was a little bit late. I was at a bris today. Started 25 minutes late. No mol wasn't there. So this guy says, you know what? Alayla Hakim. He runs up before anyone knows it. Bris Kodesh. He makes the bris milah. So the shaila is, there's a lot of shailas one could ask about such a story. It's a good story. But one specific shaila we want to focus on. There is a halacha quoted in Shulchan Aruch, which says that if someone steals your mitzvah, there's a penalty of asar zehuvim, 10 gold coins you have to pay them. Now just coincidentally, I just, earlier in the year, I bought these CDs that they have of Rabbi Yossi Berger's Shir Mamaseches Brachos. So I think it's the second or the third Shir. He's talking about that right now. But I haven't listened enough to know if he discusses this Rabbeinu Tam. But he's discussing it in Maseches Brachos there. And it's interesting. It's not so clear, again, I don't want to digress, what that halacha is all about. What does that mean? Why are you paying? Is it a real? What does that mean? But Lamaisa, there is such a concept in Gemara, and it is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Asar Zehuvim.
What's a case where you steal somebody's mitzvah?
The classic case is, this person does the zrika, and he's supposed to be the one who covers the blood. The kisui adam is a mitzvah, not a glorified one, but a mitzvah, and someone else comes in and slips the dirt over. That's in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, where this is discussed, it's in that context that then the discussion is, and by the way, what about the bris milah case? So before we get to that, the original source where Shulchan Aruch quotes us from is this story with Rabbeinu Tam. So they come along to a great Rabbeinu Tam, and they asked him, does Moel B, the one who actually did the bris, does he owe Moel A, the guy who was hired originally to do the bris milah, does he owe him any money? Says Rabbeinu Tam, no. And he says, I'll show you, make a distinction for you. If the father was going to, what about a better, imagine the following scenario, a more daring and chutzpahdik Moel B. What about if there's no Moel B, there's just Moel A? Because the father was going to do the mitzvah himself. And then the Moel jumps in, doesn't steal it from the Moel, he steals it from the father. So on that case, Rabbeinu Tam says he would owe the father. Yeah, wrote 10 zehuvim, he took away his mitzvah. But if it was just one Moel stealing from another, he does not owe him. Why? So it's interesting, Rabbeinu Tam's reasoning, which is not going to be relevant for the rest of our shir, but the Rabbeinu Tam says, well, you know what, the real, you can get just as much schar, the ikr is, the bracha. So the mila makes the moel makes the bracha of al hamila. So says Rabbeinu Tam, maybe this moel who was getting ready, he was just too slow, and some guy jumped ahead of him to do it. So Lamai says, I'm sure he was insulted, and he was upset, and he was flustered, but he shouldn't lose his wits. As long as he made amen to the guy who actually did the mila's bracha, if he said amen, he'll get the schar. And if you'll say, aye, but I didn't say amen, I was too flustered, then he brought the nezek on himself. That's Rabbeinu Tam's, it's almost an anticlimactic svara, given the tensions of the case, but that's how Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in resolving the case. What's interesting to me now is not really Rabbeinu Tam, it's the Rush. So the Rush quotes this whole story, and then the Rush says, I agree with Rabbeinu Tam, v'lav mi tamei, I'll give a different reason why I can also agree with the fact that the Moel B does not have to pay Moel A, originally hired Moel, this ten zehuvim. What is the svara of the Rush? Simple. You only have to pay ten zehuvim if you stole someone's mitzvah. But this isn't the Moel's mitzvah. It's the father's mitzvah. The father didn't do it. So the father left it to somebody else. So obviously the father doesn't care if he doesn't do it. He already gave it to somebody else. So maybe in Hilchos Deos and Musar, he shouldn't have done it. But Lamai say he didn't steal from anyone who really had proprietary rights to the mitzvah. Because even if the Moel was doing it, it would not have been his mitzvah. And therefore, by Moel B taking it from Moel A, he really didn't take anything that belonged to him. Ad kan, the Rush. Now this is already, there's more meat on this bone. And exactly where Rafael mentioned, that's exactly where I'm going. So let's think about this for a moment. If you would assume like the Rambam and what we would have probably all guessed before we walked into the shir tonight, that when I hire a Moel, I'm like appointing him as my shliach. So then, when Moel B steals from Moel A, and Moel B hasn't been appointed by anyone but himself, self-appointed rings true here, so then he really is stealing the mitzvah from the Moel A and from the father who would have been Yotzei through Moel A. So says the Shach in Choshen Mishpat, you see from this Rush that the Rush also holds there's no Shlichus in Mila. That true, you have a Moel doing it, but it does not attach back to the father in the same way that other mitzvos, if I ask someone to do it for me, shlucho shel adam kamoso. So if this logic is correct, you can add the Rush, and he is endorsed lahalacha by the Shach, that's the chumrat the Shach paskins like. We'll see momentarily the Ktsos HaChoshen also paskins like this. They endorse this opinion of the Rush, and he would, which would join the Or Zeruah, who all say, no shlichus in Mila. We already saw that Darkei Moshe says, well, why not? And that is a question which I now want to try to answer. Why not? Which is another way of saying, what is this machlokas about? That there should be shlichus in Mila, there shouldn't be shlichus in Mila. What's going on? Now the truth is that there are some shitos that say a third option. Not whether there can be shlichus or there can't be. There are some shitos that say you don't need it. I don't want to get into this, it would take us too far afield, but there are some Rishonim who define the whole nature of the mitzvah as such that as long as it gets done, the father has done his responsibility. And that includes perhaps hiring a caterer and setting up the tables and all sorts of his askus, not least of which should be making sure it actually gets done. So it doesn't matter who does the mila, the father is always yotzei his mitzvah as long as it gets done. So you don't. So that's not. So whether shlichus works or doesn't work is irrelevant to that shita because you don't need shlichus. But I'm assuming that there's a real mitzvah called cutting the orla, and that's a mitzvah on the father directly. And then the question is, if he's not doing it himself, is he really being yotzei the mitzvah? Maybe he is through shlichus, but that's the question. Is there shlichus in Mueller or not? That's the debate. We have to try to understand what that debate is about. I think that's what the Rambam is saying with the Bi'ur HaGra.
But there was no chiyuv on him. He only is doing it because he's fulfilling the chiyuv.
Correct.
So it's really, there is a distinction between...
Let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question. I'm trying to think what would be an exactly precise analogy. What would be an analogy of appointing someone to do a mitzvah for you, or we would say Shulchan Aruch Kamoso? Giving tzedakah. I was thinking giving tzedakah. Maybe shechita. That's a mitzvah. So in any of those, it doesn't have to be a chiyuv. You're right.
In this case, there's a chiyuv.
Correct, but the question is whether, the question is as follows. If there's no more mila to be done, because the boy is, lamaisa, circumcised, so I, as the father, may no longer be obligated. The question is, if you will, in Shamayim, did I ring the bell, did I get mitzvah points for my chiyuv to do the mila as the father? It could be, you know, there's two different ways of saying it. Either there's no more chiyuv because he's gemalt, he's circumcised, or I fulfilled my mitzvah. Now, if I did the bris milah myself, so that's the easiest thing. My father was a mohel, so he took care of it. I was not a mohel. My sons, what am I going to do? So if I hired a mohel, so melo, once he did the milah, there's no more chiyuv. The question is, did I fulfill my mitzvah, chiyuv av? Again, if you look at the way the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin talks about it, there's a chiyuv on the father to do a milah. So by someone else doing it, can that go back to me to fulfill my chiyuv?
Unless you say it's a chiyuv to see to it that the...
That's what I alluded to before. I did, that's what I was saying. There's one, that is a possibility.
But we see if there's no father, the person does it.
So right.
So we see that the concept is that it has to be done.
Who said maybe then they have a chiyuv? Maybe they have a chiyuv.
We're
going to get to Bezdin's chiyuv in a moment with one of the achronim I want to get to. But I don't think it's the same point that you're making. So let me give you a few different possibilities, altogether six. The first two are that the whole thing is a misunderstanding, and then the other ones are that there's a real debate here, what's going on.
Is the being Mala child the same as being Machanach child?
In what way?
Or is it, if the parents can't afford tuition, then the community has to pay tuition. But it's the father.
So that may be what the Gemara is alluding to. When the Gemara says if the father doesn't do it, then the Bezdin has to step in. If the father doesn't do it because he's an absentee father, the father doesn't do it because he's not educated and doesn't know about it, or the father doesn't do it because he can't afford to hire a mohel. In any of those cases, yeah, here it's more directly than in most mitzvos, you have an explicit limud in the Gemara attached to a pasuk that has a communal obligation to stand in if the father can't do it. There is such a concept. That's the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chav Tes. So one possibility, which is quoted by a number of achronim, the Shuvas Chasam Sofer, the Maram Shik, the Dvar Avram, and others, that at least, not with this Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam story, but the original Or Zarua that started us with the Darkei Moshe, they said really the Darkei Moshe misquoted the Or Zarua. Or Zarua never said that there's no shlichus. I'll give you a quote. This is in Hilchas Amilah, Simon Kuf Zayin of the Or Zarua. Osir lo lahaniach la'acher sheyimol. And what does that mean? So all these achronim say, just because someone else does the milah, doesn't mean that I appointed them as my shliach. Let's say I'm just being mechabed them, as one of the achronim used the term. For example, Rav Yonason Eibshitz in the Crazy Uplacy. He says there's a difference between derech shlichus and derech kibud. If the person just does it, a kibud, I want to give them the mitzvah. So that's what the Or Zarua was saying. You can't do such a thing. That's a terrible thing to do. Asur lo laniach. It's a bizvah mitzvah. You shouldn't do it. But if you give them it as a formal shlichus, so then of course that should work in the sense that you've never really given anything away, because halachically the mechanism is that it reaches back to you. So according to this, it's all a lot of smoke. But it's all a misunderstanding. Everyone really agrees that shlichus should work.
See, I would have translated there's a third way.
Yeah.
Saying that you shouldn't just go away and say, somebody else will take care of the meal. Don't worry about it. And he should take the responsibility to make sure that it gets done.
Okay, but you would agree that either way, the common thread between what I said and what you just said is if he does take, according to this, we're saying a more precise reading of Reza Ruah is if he does take responsibility and he does appoint a shlich, there's no reason that we would assume shlich is inoperative. We're agreeing, even though that's not how the Darkei Moshe quotes him. A variation of this, it doesn't, I don't think. A variation of this is another one of the Achronim on Shulchan Aruch, the Tvua Shur, also in Choshen Mishpat, Simul Chav Ches. See, he says an interesting, it's, I think it's still the Dachuk, but it's interesting to note. He says it depends on who the Moel is, and here I will not fill in any names. Other than to say Rabbi Heinemann was a Moel in town, I was at one bris that he did. So says the Tvua Shur, it depends who you ask to do the Mila. If you're Mechabed, a Chosh of a Moel, like Rabbi Heinemann, to do the Mila, so then it's okay, because Mamela, you're appointing him to do a shliach, you're asking him to do it, and there's a, it's not like you're shirking anything, it's a big honor, it's a big kibbutz to have somebody like that do the mila. However, in his lashon, if you appoint a stam person, a pashut person, and again, we'll be as vague as possible, anyone less than Rabbi Heinemann for now will be in this category, so then, you may have appointed him as a shliach, and technically this still works, but he says it's not right. It's a bizayon. You're supposed to do the mitzvah, and you're shirking your responsibility. Ah, you made sure it got done? Come on. Your son, he's 8 days. You got to do it. And if you're not going to do it, then at least make an honorable way of getting out of your obligation. Don't just pawn it off to some stam person. That's a little bit dachuk in the lashon, but that is what the Tvua Shur says. I saw a third explanation, which also assumes that there's a minimal misunderstanding here, and this may help us perhaps for all, but certainly for the Arzarua. And this is in the Sefer the Minchas Asher, Al HaTorah by Rav Asher Weiss and Simon Tesvov. He has a different explanation. He says, again, not that the Arzarua and perhaps even the Rosh or Rabbeinu Tam, not that they meant to say Shlichus doesn't work. Rather, there's two levels of fulfilling the mitzvah. One is technically being Yotzei, and the other is a more mehudar way of taking a personal involvement. So sometimes the ability of shlichus means that I haven't compromised anything. It's as if I did it myself. But he says perhaps all they mean is, again, it's not that much, it's all, these are all wrinkles, these first three. Perhaps it means, technically I'm yotzei, shlichus should work technically, but this more mehudar way where we say I should be involved personally, so that much you'll be giving up if you are not literally the one who does it. That's what he suggests, Ayin Shum, for some of those details. However, I now want to give you three other explanations, 4, 5, and 6, which are essentially assuming not that there's any misunderstandings, people meant what they said and said what they meant, and there's a real machlokas here. So what's pshat in the machlokas? So perhaps the most well-known explanation, although again it wasn't said impartially, it was said by someone who was taking a side, was by the Ketzos HaChoshen. The Ksos HaChoshen in Choshen Mishpat in Simen Shin Pei Beis, he assumes that the Shach and the Rosh, as they are understood, are correct. Shlichus doesn't work, that's what it meant. So why shouldn't it be? So we have to put together two Ksos in here. In the continuation of that essay, he says we can understand this based on the famous Tosus Harid in Maseches Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph. And then he gives you a quote. He does not apply it. He doesn't give you any analysis. He just gives you a quote. The quote, which I'll paraphrase for you, is something that you may be familiar with, just not realizing its source, is the concept as follows. If I were to ask you a question, listen, I think it's no secrets here. I think it's a well-known thing. I've been in the community long enough. I'm not a morning person. Okay. I hold those are worse of errors. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not a morning person. Let's say I took it to an extreme. And it wasn't a question of which minion I went to, so I don't want to go to minion at all. I recently had a very, very chashuv of a person in the community tell me, tefillah b'tzivah has never been my thing. It could be such, okay? And I want you to know something. I didn't laugh. Because to me, even though I can't excuse such a thing, but I don't hold that that's an impossible statement to make. Okay? That's my own, you know, everyone develops their own hashkafas around their personal strengths and weaknesses. That's life. I once had a great, great Rosh Yeshiva say this to me about shir styles. I was talking about, well, this Rebbe holds it's more important to get yedius, and he gives you all sorts of, you know, the raid, as they call it. And then you, I was speaking to this Rebbe, you're more into the lumdis and the derech halim. And I was making, like, I was very young at the time, and I was making these, like, ideal visions, you know, Sinai and Okur Harim, and he said it's all true. But there's also another fact you have to keep in mind. Rebbeim usually pick a style of shir that they're good at. So the guy who's really good at giving all the information, that might be the one he picks, and he might give you a whole Torah why that's the better kind of shir. And the one who's really good at ripping his sugi apart, derech halimud. People are human, it's okay. It's okay. We try to be good humans, but we're allowed to still be human. So let's say I say, you know what? You put on my tefillin. Shluchos shalom kamoso, you put on my tefillin. I'll have a formal declaration. I'm a man of you. We'll make a kinyan like with the Mechiras Chametz. You put on my tefillin. Better yet, right? There was a whole shiloh this year. The second day is Chol HaMoed. It's raining. It's cold. You want to be in the sukkah? Not in the sukkah. I'm going to be inside. You sit in the sukkah. Shlucha Shalom Kamoso. I'll be Yotzei. Does anyone think either of those two things would work? That's absurd. Well, us, everyone's screaming with Rigut. Tell me, I want someone to tell me right now which Gemara says that. And I'll make it easier for you. You don't have to give me a daf, just give me a Masechta. I'll make it easier for you. Just give me a Seder in Shas where it's said. Is it in Anashim? Is it in Ezekiel? Moed, probably. We're talking about mitzvos. The answer is it's nowhere. It's not even in a, what we'll call a primary Rishon. It's in the Tosfos Rishon, Masechta Kedushin, Daf Mem Aleph. He says, this is Chiddush. It became so accepted that we just take it for granted. I'm not saying it's not right, but just we should know where it comes from. It comes from Tosfos Rid. The Rid says that there's a distinction. Shlichus doesn't work for all mitzvos. It does not work for mitzvos, which are somehow what he calls mitzvos shebegufo. Now the truth is, what does that mean, mitzvos with my body? There's at least two different understandings, and probably more, because it's a very vague term, what even the Tosfos Rid means. So at least for the one that will be relevant for us tonight, we then need to connect this ktsos with an earlier ktsos. The ktsos who's saying the Tosfos Rid is the key to understanding this, he himself in an earlier piece in Siman Kuf Pei Beis, quotes the Tosfos Rid also. And there he tells you what he thinks the Tosfos Rid means. Rather, it depends, is the difference between the two different mitzvahs are as follows. And the examples he gives are to point the Gemara says explicitly, two different places in the Mishnah, you can appoint a shliach to get married for you. If that's the case, you can appoint a shlich certainly to get divorced for you. Shlichus works for kedushin and for gittin, but doesn't work for latay tefillin. Those will be our two contrasts. Says the ktsos, why is that? Based on the rid, depends. Is the ikur of the mitzvah the actual maisa? So if it's only the maisa, that's giving the tabaas to the woman. That's giving the get to the woman. Shluchus shalom kamosa works. The maisa of the shlich is as if I did it. But if the ikkar of the mitzvah isn't the maisa that's done, but rather that the maisa creates a result, a chalos, so if the result is the ikkar, so then that cannot be brought, connected between the one who did it and the one who appointed it. Some say, for example, as a dogma, if I appoint someone to put tefillin on me, so that it's as if I did the maisa, it's as if I wrapped the tefillin. It's just that it's as if I wrapped the tefillin on my friend's head. But the mitzvah is k'shartam al yadecha. It has to be on my hand. Right. So that idea, if that's the ktsos, we put all this together, what would it
creates
results? And if the ikkar is not putting on tefillin. It's having tefillin, the result of that, which is that they're on your head. The ikkar isn't going into the sukkah. The ikkar is being in the sukkah. It's not the maisa, it's the result of the maisa. Again, if we could have a whole shiur just on this, it needs more. I'm admitting that there's more to talk about here, but for the purpose of us, what I would suggest is maybe if this is how he understands why there's no shlichus, namely he holds that bris milah is not the focus on the action, but on the result, and the truth is that this is a major kler in hilchos milah, a major discussion. What's the ikra of the mitzvah of milah? Is it what we call the maisa chaticha, the actual cutting of the foreskin? Or is it the fact that as a result of that action, so we call there's a chalos mahul. Now this baby is circumcised. Come out. That is itself. I could give a whole shir just on that topic. But perhaps a detail of that shir would be what I'm trying to make the point now. Perhaps that's the machlokes about whether shlichus works or not. If you assume that shlichus works, it's because you hold it. It's a maisa mitzvah. Do the circumcision. It's a maisa mitzvah. It's the same as other maisa mitzvah that can have shlichus work. But if the purpose of the milah is not the maisa of actually cutting, that's just a means to the end. It's a hechatimsa. But the goal of milah is to be gamal, to have a chalos arel. So just as the Kso said, when you have certain mitzvahs where the focus is not on the action but on the result, the status that is engendered, so that status cannot be accomplished through shlichus. Again, to clarify your point before, True, the mila happened. The baby is not going to be chayv kares. But the point is that I, as the father who asked the other person to do it for me, what was the intended goal? That we should have this chalos mahol. That cannot be connected back to me through shlichus. Why? Because this is this big topic, which again certainly needs more hesber, but this is this shas topic called Shlichas doesn't work on Mitzvah Sheva Gufo. The Ketzos assumes that Mila is that. That is one approach to saying it's a real Machlokes. What's the Shorish of the Machlokes? The nature of the Mitzvah of Mila. So far? Your issue is about to be the one I'm going to get to in a moment. And since you give me another opportunity, we had a few minutes, it's another commercial break. Really, if you want to really appreciate what I'll get to, you have to come to Shabbos here. Because that is the issue we've been speaking about for 2 and will be 3 weeks of the relationship between the father and the baby. But I'm not going to make you, I'm going to give you a preview, I'll give you a snippet in 2 minutes.
You're using this concept now to negate the shlichus. I mean, in case it's filling, you say I can't send the shlichus to put on.
If he does it, I'm not Yotze.
I need the result. I know, but if I need the result on me to have this filling on me.
Right. So he's saying that Mila qualifies as a Mishra Sheva Gufo. Similarly. Who's Guf? So that's why, I told you about the earlier Ksos, the way he defines Sheva Gufo, a little bit elastic. And secondly, it relates to the tension that Barry just brought up, which is who's Guf? Who's the Mitzvah on? Yeah.
It sounds to me when you have a third party involved that is the Mitzvah Shlichus. I mean, you could appoint a Shliach. Like, from Tefillin, it just means the Tefillin. It means the Sukkah. When you're dealing with a third party, like Kedushin and Mila,
who's the third party?
The wife.
That's two parties. Who said there should be a third? That's my point. No, but you're putting the cart before the horse. The Ktos and the Rush and the Shachshin, there's no third party. There's no standing, right? To use a legal term, there might be a third party there, but they have no standing. Again, no, you and I, we might have assumed intuitively, and many other posts can do seem to hold, that there can be a third party. You can have a Shliach. But their point is that there is no third party. You have a chiyuv to do it, and let's assume for now, don't hold me to these formulations, because these are all based on major sugyas, and the baby has a chiyuv, so to speak, to have that result occur to it. So lemaisa, if I have a third party do it, if you assume the third party has standing, so that means that it's as if I, the first party, did what I was supposed to do. If you hold it has no standing, so it may be true that mamela, party number two, the baby, had a circumcision, but I didn't do what I was supposed to do, because I didn't do it, and who's to say, connect me to unnamed, co-conspirator number one. They're there, but they're not there. That's exactly the debate. Is there a third party or not?
I wouldn't think Ksos uses that sort of by Kedushin as well, like he does by Mila.
Because he holds a lumdus that the Ikar is the Maisa Kedushin. He holds it's the Maisa Kedushin. You're asking me arbitrarily, why no?
He's picking because it fits? Or does he see something in each of the mitzvahs?
I don't believe, if I remember correctly, that he gets into the details about Kedushin. Huh? So I'm saying, I don't think we can know from this piece why he understands Kedushin or not. He just says it. He just says it about Kedushin. Why he understands Mila that way, that may relate to what I alluded to, but I'm not going to get into now, which is that there may be many indications that that's the nature of Mila. Again, it's debatable, but there certainly would be indications that that's the nature of Mila. That's a famous discussion of the Beis Halevi. He asked this question. What is Mila? Is it the Maisa? Right? Is it the positive? Is it the negative? So assuming that there is evidence for that, so that's what's going on with the Ksos. Why he held Kedushin the way it is, so I don't have a good answer for that offhand, but I don't think he tells us, and that would be a good job for our Kedushin Shir have done the last 2 years. We've moved on to a different part of Kedushin now. But he does, in this piece, if I'm not mistaken, you can look it up, double check for me, I don't remember him telling us other than just saying it as a fact. Let me move on now, another explanation. The Dvar Avram, the Kovner Rav. I mentioned his drushas this past Sunday at the groundbreaking, but he's more well known for his Lomdusha essays. So he has at least two pieces on Mila that I know about. The one I want to quote now is in Chelek Beis, Simen Aleph. He says the following. An interesting idea. What is hinted at? What does that mean, Mitzvah Sheva Gufo? We said it's a vague term. The Ksos gave his definition. The Dvar Avram has a completely different definition. It means not physical body per se. It means mitzvos which I have a chiyuv to do, and the person who I'm going to appoint to do it for me has no chiyuv, no relationship to the mitzvah whatsoever. So it's a little bit, it's not ironic, but just if you have to listen, it's a little sharp. If that person has no relationship with the mitzvah whatsoever, and yet they're doing it because I appointed them, so what other reason are they doing it? They have no relationship with it. They're only doing it because of me. And therefore their action can be attributed to me, says the Dvar Avram. But if they themselves have an independent relationship, maybe not exactly the same as mine, but an independent relationship to this mitzvah in question, then it's a little bit too, if you will, no gay about it, it's a little too gray and murky. When they're doing a mitzvah, who's to say that it goes back to me? Maybe they're doing it for their own reason.
That relationship as opposed to obligation.
Huh?
Relationship as opposed to obligation?
I'm using the word relationship because I don't think he wants to limit it to obligation. So for example, in this case, says the Dvar Avram, although here the way the Dvar Avram will say it, obligation will work, but the way we're going to apply it to Mila, obligation is going to be more precise. He says the following. Why do they hold that no shlichus works? He says, very simple. It's a mitzvah b'gufo. What does that mean? If the father doesn't do the Mila, it's as if he's being misyayish on the mitzvah. He should do it himself. If he's not doing it, he's giving up on his mitzvah. So what does the Gemara say? If the father doesn't do the mitzvah, who's the chiyav on? The Bezdin, which he assumes means, not the Bezdin literally, it means the whole community, everyone in the community. So when the Moel does the Mila, what mitzvah is he fulfilling? His own mitzvah, as a member of the community, to make sure that the baby is gemalt, is circumcised. He's not my shliach, because I don't care about the mitzvah anymore. If I cared, I would have done it myself. By me not doing it myself, says the Dvar Avram, as if I've been meyayish on it, I don't care about it. And then, he's doing a mitzvah, but I want him to do it as my shliach. They hold no, because he can't be your shliach, because he has a shaychus to the mitzvah himself, because he's part of the Klal Yisrael, who's obligated on it now. The way he says it, if I remember correctly the language, is that by the father being miyayish, that's his word, then the community becomes mechuyev. And the mole is a member of the community. Now, if you'll tell me, is that the same mitzvah traveling along the same route with different names on the stops, or does it change routes? That's an interesting question. And third, and Blee Netter, final commercial promotion for the Shabbos. This Shabbos we'll be discussing a parallel question, which is that whatever the relationship between the father and son, how does that change when the boy hits 13? Is the father still mechuyev when the boy hits 13? The Gemara said when you hit 13 without a milah, you're chayiv yourself. The question the Minchas Chinuch asks, at 13, is the father also chayiv with his son? Or does the father fall off and now only the son is obligated? And we will see, in Mirtz Hashem on Shabbos, that there are different understandings to that question. Some say blanket yes or no, one or the other. But there are some very sophisticated approaches that try to suggest either that they're both existing two parallel tracks at the same time, or perhaps maybe there's only one mitzvah, but the train stayed on one track, not two tracks, one track, just to change the name of the stop. It was, you know, father, hit 13, just turns into the mitzvah disappears, and it stays, but it's the same mitzvah, but the father disappears in the new. We'll have to see all of that on Shabbos with Hashem. However, says the Dvar Avram, that's my approach, that's my understanding of those who reject shlichus. So what's the explanation of those who say, no, of course there should be shlichus? He says, very simple. Just because I call up the Moel and say, please, Reb, whoever, can you do the milah for my son? That means I'm giving up on my mitzvah. I'm not making yaish on my mitzvah. I'm asking him to help me take care of it because I don't know how to do it. So then, of course, shlichus should work like anything else. But as opposed to if I'm yaish on it, so to speak, which is a very strong language, I give up on it. Which is how he says this is what the Rosh and others understood, so that if I give up on it, I can't have it both ways. I can't give up on it, but then use one of the members of the community who then became obligated in it to do the mitzvah that they themselves became obligated in. And finally, this is what I've been alluding to, and that will make the point directly, Barry, a point that actually I suggested, a different kind of a commercial now, in my Sefer Ataris Yaakov, Siman Tes. I think I've done this once in like 2 years, so you'll forgive me, it came up all these times today. I don't usually do this. Just so happens, I told you, it's one of my favorite topics. I want to suggest the following. Perhaps the machlokas, I think Barry was alluding to this, maybe Rafal also, perhaps the machlokas about shlichus relates to a different point entirely. It's not a machlokas about shlichus. Shlichus is just a pawn. It's a machlokas about the obligation in Mila. Who is the Bar Chayuva in the Mila? If you assume the father himself is the Bar Chayuva, and to use an extreme lashon that, for example, the Avnei Nezer uses, the boy is the cheftza of the mitzvah, but the father is the Bar Chayuv. It's the father's mitzvah. So then, it's my mitzvah. I'm the father. I can appoint a shlich like anything else. But if you assume that the real mitzvah is on the son, which many achronim say, he's only 8 days old. It's a unique phenomenon. Even a katan 8 days old becomes chayiv. Elamai, he can't do it himself. So the Torah says the father should be responsible for the son fulfilling his own mitzvah. But it's never the father's mitzvah. And therefore, if it's not my mitzvah, I can't appoint a shliach. That's not mine. I'm not bailing over it. I can't appoint a shliach. The Torah gave me a responsibility. The Torah gave me a responsibility and ownership over it. I'm a custodian for my son. Achapa nafkamina, according to this, if the son hits 13, he's old enough, it's his mitzvah, and he's old enough to appoint a shliach. Could he appoint a shliach to do his own milah? Now again, I'm not saying that the alternative is he has to do it himself. What I'm saying is, if he asks somebody else, presumably that would have to happen, unless we're dealing with some superhuman situation, when the other person does it, are they doing it as his shliach or not? According to all the mahachim we're saying now, whether it's an 8-day-old shiloh or a 13 or 15 or a 30-year-old shiloh, if you hold it, there's no shlichus ever. But according to this last mahalach, I'm saying, even those who generally hold no shlichus, that might only be when the baby's 8 days old, because the father is just the custodian for the son's mitzvah. But when the son is old enough to make decisions for himself, so then he has bailim, he's the bailim, so he can appoint a shliach, just like those who would otherwise always say. Because he's not the bailim over it.
He's a bailim on the custodian. Why is that? Why is the custodian?
No, because he's not the bailim. The Torah gave a specific chiyuv to him.
He's a bailim on the custodianship.
No.
So what is he then?
He has an obligation, a parental responsibility, to make sure that his son, well, I shouldn't say that, that's a bad formulation, to give his son a milah.
But the Torah appointed him. He's the one who's responsible.
To fulfill his son's mitzvah, but it's not his mitzvah. You can't, shlichus, we have this both in legal, in choshev mishmer shlichus, and in, so to speak, mitzvah, yardei shlichus. You, in order to have the idea of shlucho shel adam kamoso, you have to be the baldover. That we have many writers for. So what I'm suggesting, again, you don't have to buy it, what I'm suggesting is perhaps this is not sufficiently the baldover in order to give it out, because it's not his mitzvah, he's not the bar chayuva. Now, I just want to mention, this is a very enjoyable thing to discuss, but the truth is that I left, we haven't gotten to a lot of what I was hoping to discuss, which is okay. Just so you should know, we've only gotten through Aleph and Beis in the source sheet. So just very quickly, we'll spend 3 more minutes. I just want to give you a little bit of a summary of what's left on the source sheet, which we will not get to remotely sufficiently. The next os there on your source sheet is the question which is discussed here in the Gemara, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Beis Amar Aleph, through Chof Zayin Amar Aleph, Beis Chof Vav Amar Beis, through Chof Zayin Amar Aleph. What about a non-Jew? Could a non-Jew be a Moel? This is a major shaila to know for all the children who are getting gemalt in hospitals, for the minority of cases where the doctor's not Jewish. Okay? Well, what about a Jewish doctor who's not frum? Those are also shailas. I had shailas in the shul like this with certain Bali Tshuva cases. Anyway, whether you need a new bris or something like that. But let's talk about a non-Jew. So the Gemara has 2 opinions that argue about whether you should do it or not, that both seem to think that it should, but it would work. Then the Gemara has 2 opinions that say it doesn't work, and the Gemara quotes 2 different psukim as to why it wouldn't work. The Gemara looks for different nafkaminas. One of the nafkaminas would be whether women should be able to do the bris milah. And the Gemara says, "Aye, what about tziporas?" And the Mefarsha story in Chumash. And the Gemara has 2 further answers. Does that mean that she really did it herself? Maybe she appointed someone else to do it, even though that doesn't make it into the Torah, Shebuchsav. Or does it mean that she started, but then Moshe finished? So those are the 2 other topics that I was going to discuss. A female, Mohelis, and a non-Jewish doctor. So the issue with the non-Jewish doctor is discussed already in the Gemara. We seem to paskin the Rishonim say like these latter 2 opinions. And certainly, lechachilo, one should not have a non-Jew do the bris milah. However, the Beis Yosef quotes from many Rishonim that all of this is lechachilo. But most Rishonim seem to say that bidi eved, if a non-Jew did the milah and assumed it was done correctly, whether there's a mitzvah or not, I don't know, but at least it's done. You don't need to go back and do anything. What we call, even if it's not. Presumably the guy can't do something of L'Shem Mila. We have that with Jews, sorry? So again, I'm not saying there's a mitzvah done. But the point is he's now mohul. So exactly. Now that's a discussion. No one says you should do it. Of course not. That's the Gemara's conclusion. The question is whether you...
The guy did it at 8 days, right?
Or after.
Or after.
Or after. If it was less than 8 days, you'd have other problems. If he did it at night, can you imagine? What are the odds? He did it at night. A night shift. Okay. So, Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch says, L'chachila, it shouldn't be done. We ran out of time, but I just wanted to just say you could have some thought to an issue that I left on the table. There's a lot to talk about, but for the sake of time, it'll have to be another Od Chazon L'Moed. There's a shayla that the Minchas Chinuch quotes from Yonis and Eibshitz, the following, which will converge our 2 topics now. Namely, if the Gemara has already told us that a non-Jew cannot do the milah, which is what the Gemara itself says in Avodah Zarah, why do the Rishonim, need to I'm sorry, why does the Gemara, when it's struggling to say that, Goyim can't do Mila, why does the Gemara need to give Psukim? Say better. Say, if you can't have, if a guy can't be a Shliach, Smamela, they can't do the Bris Mila. That's Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz's question. Puts together the Goyim and the Shlichos case, and different answers for this. I want to just give you one final note about women. The Gemara, Shulchan Aruch quotes the issue of women as well. Lamaisa, just so people should know, Me'ikar Hadin, women absolutely can do Mila. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say so pretty much straight out. The Ramah, although again, not L'chachila, but the Ramah says a little bit, again, it's a subtle nuance, but the Ramah seems to be a little bit more negative. But even the Ramah, they both agree that technically you would be Yotzei for a woman. So why shouldn't she do it? Probably just issues of Tznius and Kavara Tzibur. But not Mikra, not from Hilchos Mila, in Hilchos Arachayim maybe, but not in Hilchos Yardei. But a last point, what are the Achronim? The Migdal Oz says, what if you have the following case? It's the eighth day, and the only person you can get to do the Mila is a Jewish woman. Should you wait after the eighth day, or should you have a woman do it? Migdal Oz says you should have a Mohalas. You should have a woman do the Mila. Again, it's not ideal, but it's certainly more ideal than going past the eighth day. Okay, Imitz Hashem, there'll be other time to learn many more Hilchos Mila, starting with on Shabbos. Okay, fine.